Good morning. I'm Pastor Cheryl Siegenthaler. I was once a visitation pastor here when Pastor John was here. So some of your faces are familiar. I'm so delighted to be here this morning to share worship with you. A couple of announcements that Lynn and Pastor Steve saved for me. Sunday school is going to be starting on Rally Sunday, September 5th. At 9:30, mark your calendars. A sign-up form is at the end of your bulletin, and please fill out and put into the offering plate. And if you have children or know of children or grandchildren, there is a Sunday school for them from pre-kindergarten to sixth grade. The Sunday school staff would really appreciate it if they could have some kind of a ballpark figure of how many children that they can prepare for. Wednesday night, I heard, was your vacation Bible school, and Pastor Steve said it went very well and would like to thank all of you who had contributed, volunteered, or helped in any way. There were 14 children here who benefited from their time together in this place. Also, I believe this one is for church council members. There's going to be a short special council meeting at 7:30 on the 16th. And that's after Pastor Steve returns, wherever he went. Does anyone know where he and Stacy went? They're keeping it secret. So let us prepare for our worship, opening our hearts and our minds. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Right, our gathering song is Sing a Song.
Lord, to you I want to sing a song, and I want to lift my voice to heaven, listen to the angels sing along, a song of your faithfulness, a song of your grace, and of your loving kindness, to the glory of your name, and everything that's in you, Lord, listen to me say. I wanna sing a song for you, I wanna sing a song. I wanna live my life for you, Lord. Lord, for you I wanna live my life. I wanna praise the name of Jesus. Pray above all things you're glorified. Song of your faithfulness, song of your grace, and of your loving kindness, to the glory of your name. With everything that's in me, Lord, listen to me and say, I want to sing a song for you, I want to sing a song.
And I sing about your mercy, and I sing about your love, your goodness, Lord, your righteousness. I want to sing a song
of your faithfulness, a song of your grace, and of your loving kindness, to the glory of your name. With everything that's in me, Lord, listen to me say, I want to sing a song for you, I want to sing a song.
A song of your faithfulness, oh, and of your loving kindness, the glory of your name. With everything that's in me, Lord, listen to me say, I want to sing a song for you, I want to sing a song. We'll sing holy, holy, holy. We'll sing holy. Holy, 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 we'll shout holy, holy,
Let us pray. Ever-loving God, your Son gives himself as living bread for the life of the world. Fill us with such a knowledge of his presence that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life to serve you continually. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first lesson this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 9, beginning at the first verse. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servant girls. She calls from the highest places in the town. You that are simple, turn in here. To those without sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live, and walk in the way of insight. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson comes from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at the 15th verse. Be careful, then, how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Would you please stand for the reading of the Gospel? The Holy Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter. Glory to you. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to God. Grace, peace, and mercy be to you all, gifts from God our Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, we all love to eat. Plan an event, and there will be food. Gather for an evening of games and cards with your neighbors. There's going to be snacks. Go to a game, whether it's football, soccer, baseball, volleyball. Well, tennis not so much, but there's going to be food. Food provides many benefits. Carrots for good eyes, milk for strong bones and teeth, spinach for Popeye-like strength, an apple a day, and I could keep on going. Well, I will. We can stay cool as a cucumber or get ourselves into quite a pickle. We know the breakfast of champions, what's good to the last drop, and the best part of waking up. We can depend on a name like Smucker's. We know what we would do for a Klondike bar. Plus, no matter what's on the menu or how much we eat, there is always room for Jell-O. Okay. But flesh and blood, and for the topic of a sermon? Well, we use that phrase in a couple of ways. One is that it can refer to the living material of our physical bodies. We know just what kind of blood we have running through our veins, whether it's A or O positive, B negative, and so on. And we know we have three layers of skin, epidermis, dermis, and subcutaneous tissue. Now, that's the scientific view of flesh and blood. And while we may not be completely savvy about all of that, We sure do know a lot about our flesh and blood in regards to family and relatives, both immediate and distant. We know about flesh and blood family dynasties. We could name Rockefellers and Vanderbilts and Kennedys and the Royals. And even family feuds, most famously the one between the Hatfields and the McCoys, all are based on flesh and blood. Way too often, feuds between flesh and blood occur when someone dies and the arguing begins over the inheritance. Not always what's in a will, but frequently over who gets what item. Who gets Grandpa's pocket watch? Who gets Mother's jewelry? And who gets Aunt Jessie's china cabinet? Now, the origin of that term, flesh and blood, comes from an old English version of the translation of the Bible when it referred to humankind in general. It appears in the 16th chapter of Matthew, verse 17, right after Simon Peter acknowledges Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus' reply to him is, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is heaven." This inspired by God truth comes out of Peter's mouth as easily as reciting his name and address, and could not have been the result of study or shared public information at that time. It was God revealing Jesus' holy identity to this common fisherman. It is the flesh and blood of Jesus that is our focus this morning. For weeks, we have been looking at chapter 6 of John and the ways that Jesus tries to explain who he is in words that everyone might understand. And he uses bread. He is the bread of life, he says, the bread from heaven, and we get it. In fact, we get it every time we celebrate Holy Communion. We get it in the bread broken and the wine poured. But in this particular passage, there is no miracle of increasing those 5 barley loaves from 5 servings to over 5,000 and having a lot of leftovers. Today, there is no clarification of the manna God sent Moses' people who would survive on it until their natural deaths. Jesus says, "This is different. This is me." Imagine hearing those words for the first time. Now, last Sunday, Pastor Steve explained how the Torah contained the instructions for every aspect of people's lives, from clothing to family relations to marriage, even to food. He referred to the book of Leviticus and the 613 laws. If you just look at all of the laws concerning dietary restrictions and food preparation, you would be amazed. Even back in Genesis, God tells Noah, "Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you, but you must not eat the meat that has lifeblood still in it." But now Jesus, the one people watched growing up as a boy in Nazareth, the one whose family, his own flesh and blood, lived nearby, and that same family who tried to bring him into the house because, as Mark records in his gospel, they think he is out of his mind. Now Jesus is saying to drink his blood. Those first century Jews heard only God-defying words. The Gentiles in the crowd were simply disgusted. Now, what if this were the first time you've ever thought of coming forward and joining the communicants at the table? But the pastor uses words like, "Here's a hunk of bread, this is my body, take and eat." Or after saying, "The cup holds the blood shed for you, as often as you drink it, remember me." You might be prone to think otherwise about having anything to do with those people or that church. Jesus doesn't soften the image he uses. The image of bread hasn't been so hard to take up to then, for bread was a common staple. But this, flesh and blood, eating and drinking, well, that's something else. But Jesus is not talking about nourishment. He's talking about living forever. He puts it on the line. If you don't eat this and you don't drink that, you're going to die. But if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will live forever. We hear it. We've heard the words many times. And what once were bombshells landing around the people, they fall on our ears without much reaction. For us, those words have lost their offensiveness. But Jesus didn't launch those words so their impact would fizzle with time. Let's go back centuries to the time of Jeremiah. If you recall his story, like so many other people, God has chosen to do his work and has called them to spreading the word. Jeremiah complains, God, I am too young to do your work. But look what happens. God puts the words needed for the work into Jeremiah's mouth. And Jeremiah responds, when your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and heart's delight. Now, I have to laugh whenever I read that because this verse reminds me of my grandpa. For whenever someone asked him something or told him a bit of news or probably gave him some unsolicited advice, he'd always say, let me chew on that a while. My cousins and I would snicker if we didn't just outright laugh about it. The idea of chewing on words. But this is not such a bizarre idea. We can go to Matthew 4 and read, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How do we know what the word of God is unless we daily find ourselves within the pages of our Bibles? While we come together to share in the bread and the wine and to hear the word proclaimed, it's downright good for us to read the word on a daily basis. While the other gospel writers begin Jesus' life by recording his birth, John uses a different non-story slant. He writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So grounding ourselves by bread and wine and the Word, we live in the assurance of life forever. Jesus' use of strong words challenges people. Following him will not be easy. Those who believe in him, truly believe, will have to make hard decisions all along the journey. He isn't about smoothing the way or glad-handing people so they can leave church happy and comforted by what he's saying. He is laying the cost of following him out there, plain and simple. Not only is he defying the Roman rule of law by insisting God, not the emperor, is the ruler above all, but he knows that there will be people who will denigrate those who follow him. And as we see the apostles at work after Jesus' death and resurrection, will persecute them even to their own deaths. And we will read later that many disciples in the crowd left him because those words were too hard. Now, in studying Hebrew, we find that, like English, it has many idioms, and flesh and blood is one of them. It means the whole person with his or her heart, mind, spirit, feelings, hopes, dreams, fears and concerns, everything. We read in Deuteronomy that we are to love God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our strength. And then Jesus later commands we are to love God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind. We are to hold nothing back, for God holds nothing back in loving you and me. He sent Jesus into the world to love, redeem, and sustain the whole of who we are, the good, the bad, and the ugly in each one of us. John's whole gospel records the signs that Jesus uses to point the way for us. We encounter familiar images describing the relationship between Jesus and us. Jesus is the shepherd, and we are the sheep. He is the vine, and we are the branches. He abides in God, and we abide in him. And now we have flesh and blood. A Bible scholar by the name of Dr. Adam Copenhaver writes this: the language Jesus used is pressed to the limits to express the inseparable union and the inextricable participation of one life in another. For those who receive Jesus, the whole Jesus, his life clings to their bones and courses through their veins. Jesus can no more be taken from a believer's life than last Tuesday's breakfast can be plucked from one's body. This is the promise which God makes to us in our sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion, to be one with us and for us forever, to stick with us and even in us, no matter what. From 5,000 hungry people to 12 confused and frightened disciples, and to you and me in this moment, we hear the words read of what Holy Communion means to the Christian believer. Right there, we saw you have life in yourself, and you will live forever. You will be raised by Jesus on the last day, and you will live because of Jesus forever. Our earthly life is only one season in our eternal life promised in God's gift of his only Son. All we have to do is believe in that Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and remember him as often as we drink the wine and eat the bread. You are what you eat is a statement we all know. As we consume the blessed bread and wine and read God's word, we are led to live lives informed by his love for us. And that love is transformed into our love for others. With the words, "Do this for the remembrance of me," we are reminded of who we are and whose we are. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, children and heirs of God. We are flesh and blood in God's kingdom, and we can sure thank God for that. Amen. Would you please stand and confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Rooted in Christ and sustained by the Spirit, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all of creation. God of wisdom, enlighten your church. Guide theologians, biblical scholars, authors, seminary professors, and all of us, as we seek greater knowledge and invite others into deeper understanding. Teach us to ask faithful questions and open our minds to new ideas. Lord, in your mercy. God of creation, mend the earth, cool warming oceans, and preserve melting ice caps. Increase our awareness and reveal new approaches to the ecological challenges we face. Shield those in the path of hurricanes or tropical storms, and we pray for those struck down in Haiti. Lord, in your mercy. God of all nations, direct our leaders. Grant them courage to lay aside political grudges and renew their determination to address difficult conflicts. Guide them in the work of reconciliation. Watch over leaders of all nations, that they might put aside personal agendas and care truly for their people. Lord, in your mercy, God of compassion, tend to the wounded. Rescue those tormented by mental illness or mired in addiction. Ease the anxiety of those struggling with dementia. Come quickly to help all who are grieving and all those who suffer. And we pray for your healing hand in hospitals everywhere and those who care for them. Give them rest. Lord, in your mercy, God of beauty, inspire artists. Bless those whose visual and musical gifts enliven this assembly. Bless the creative work of poets, hymn writers, composers, painters, sculptors, and others who enrich our worship and daily life through their artistic inspirations. Lord, in your mercy, God of resurrection, bring us to new life. Give us the living bread from heaven through which we abide in your love. And on the last day, raise us with all the saints to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. We lift those and all our prayers to you, O God, confident in the promise of your saving love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray that prayer that Jesus taught the earliest disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord be gracious unto you for always. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go into the world with hope to make God's vision our mission. Amen.
Never will run dry.
So living waters flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire. Just to know.
More of you, fill our hearts and flood our souls.